Yes, I'm just in the middle of a meeting and I've been called. Oh, if no you problem. Could go get me in 5 minutes, please.
Thanks. I'll try. I'm going to see how long I'm going to be here, but we'll try. Let's see. Let's get King Maven on. Or actually, maybe the Lunatic Kid can go first because he was waiting a bit longer.
Could you explain more about the Y Luna and how does it work?
Yeah.
The token?
Maybe silence your mic a little bit because there's a lot of static in the background there. Yeah, there you go. Well, Prism, by the way, that was to answer the question for the other speaker of another major protocol that's important. Prism's another big one. Prism allows you to split your Luna into Principal Luna and Yield Luna, which will trade at different prices and premiums depending on how popular they are. The Principal Luna just has mostly all price exposure, but you'll be able to get more of it. But the Yield Luna... the price will presumably be lower, but so what you would get from that is essentially the yield output. So like the way you would use the system would be like if I had had 1,000 Luna and I wanted to like use the Prism refracting system, I would then go to Prism site. I would break my Luna into equal parts P Luna and Y Luna. I could sell the principal portion for more of the yield portion. So I'm essentially leveraging my, like some of the price action there because I want more yield. Or I could sell more of the yield portion and get more of the principal portion. And what my final portions are going to end up being has something to do with like the price of those individual assets on the open market. So as far as like strategy and how to use that, I think you've got to wait. You've got to wait because you need to know what like, the stabilized price of Y Luna and P Luna are going to be once this whole thing opens up, and also when those things go on Astroport as far as exchange. So Prism, I believe, is only opening after Astroport is actually active, because I believe they're waiting for Astroport as their primary liquidity pool. And you know, you'll be able to do interesting things with Prism, in the sense that, like, yeah, you can just use your Y Luna and get more of it, and that way you have more yield. If that's what's interesting to you, you want cash flow, or you might take your P Luna and like maybe do a 2x on it with Levana and do like a get more price exposure and perhaps like leverage it or something. Yeah, and how to use all of that is going to be interesting, because ultimately to get Luna back, you would you combine Y Luna back to P Luna in a 1-to-1 ratio. So in theory, it could cost you more to go back to Luna, or it could cost you ideally less if you got yourself more P Luna and Y Luna and some trades, for example. So there's some trading opportunities going on there. There are some like things you could do with your cash flow. There's things you can do in terms of like exposure to various like price risk. So it just creates a whole nother like video game, essentially, of things you can kind of play with and attempt to like, I guess, like, you know, make more money. The other thing is Prism's token is there too. So for I think MP, who's asking about like what else is coming out, the token itself is going to have a value accrual mechanism. It might be an interesting token to hold. There's different ways you're going to be able to get that. So I'd look out for Prism Protocol and how you get their tokens. Keep in mind, a variety of these tokens can be acquired via the Pylon Gateway, which is a fairly low-risk way to acquire coins if you're kind of like not wanting to like play all these trading shenanigans. You just want to park some UST and acquire it over time. Pylon has been generally a successful way to get some of the higher quality projects. So something to think about. King, or wait, who did I miss here? Fakundito has his hands up. Maybe any other question there?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, I was in the middle of a meeting and yeah, no I problem. Was called to speak. I had a couple of questions. First, not sure if Jose discussed around the launch of Mars, and because I think that they will be really close with the launch of Astroport, and I wouldn't like them to compete for liquidity, or at least for my liquidity, and have maybe enough to spare on both. So not sure if they have discussed about not overlapping those mining or liquidity mining events. The other thing, not sure again if this has already been discussed about Stader. I think their product is awesome, and being able to have liquid staking is something that we were missing on the environment. But I think that could really harm decentralization, because you only get the liquid Luna if you stake with their validators. I know that Lido has launched or announced to launch their own liquid staking for Luna that has the same properties that LunaX, the option from Stader that auto compounds and also gives you all the airdrops and things like that. But as far as I know, they have multiple validators, and that's not the case on Stader.
That's a concern that like continues to get brought up. Stader is sort of fairly committed, from my understanding, of trying to like expand and further distribute their validators over time. I think right now, like, they just need to get like everything launched and functioning properly, and I think they're going to be evaluating more and more, like adding more validators and improving that decentralization concept. So yeah, you're right. Like, there's all those kinds of things tend to favor centralization, but there's a fair amount of centralization in the validators as it is to some extent. So, you know, maybe this will help. Let's see what happens with the community validators pools, see if they get bigger as a part of this process that they've started. But yeah, we'll just have to see how it plays out, I think. King, did you have a question?
Hi. So thank you for having me, first of all.
Yeah.
So I did have a question, but I did actually want to comment on the liquid staking question real quick, because that's something that is actually a focus of mine. For example, right, Lido is a multi-chain liquid staking solution that has multiple teams that run in parallel on different chains. And Marinade on Solana is just a native Solana liquid staking solution, right? And Marinade only stakes to validators below the top 19. So the security set that the top 19 that has like 33% of all the stake, Marinade will not delegate any stake to anybody above that line. Whereas Lido has a different strategy where they do, you know, their 14 validators that they trust, which are both viable, you know, ways to run a business, right? Because there are risks in both ways. One is way more decentralization friendly, but one is way more friendly in terms of no risk of, you know, slashing when you only have 14 validators. So I'm hoping that Stader and Bluna or Lido do move towards more decentralized stake, because for everybody listening in here, by the way, thank you for listening to me speak. We have power in these proof of stake networks. Our proof of stake assets that we own, whether it be Luna, Solana, Atom, whatever, like when we delegate our authority, our money to validators, that is basically us voting and allowing people to use our monetary power to either help the network or harm the network. So, yeah, I just wanted to make that point real quick, because I do think liquid staking is like such an integral primitive for proof of stake networks. So I'm really happy that you brought that up, MP. Sefi, I do have a question. I'm sure that you probably get this question a lot, and if anybody has any knowledge on it, it would be really helpful. I was reading the Anchor Protocol paper yesterday, and I understand that the interest rates for depositors are generated by using the block rewards from proof of stake assets that are put up for collateral on Anchor. And I'm wondering, as those proof of stake rewards begin to become less and less and get more inflationary, or during a bear market where, you know, a $200 Solana used as collateral is now $100 Solana, so the SOL that you're getting is way less than the block rewards. I'm wondering, do you have a target for what that interest rate on Anchor would be, possibly in a bear market situation, or is there any way to forecast that?
I've actually been thinking about that myself. It's like, it doesn't seem to me like rational to have the same amount of borrowing power, like irrespective of the productive value of that asset, which is kind of weird to me. So yeah, like what you're saying, not only if the staking reward potentially drops depending on transactional value, or if the price of the underlying asset drops, like they both may have some relationship to the, like, they maybe both should be calculated in like what available LTV you have. And I think what you're alluding to is that the LTV would be somehow more fluid. It gets more complicated from the user standpoint though, because you'd want to have some like simple, you know, slider like they have now. If the values are always sort of moving, I think that could make it be more tricky to manage your LTV, or you know, that might hinder people from actually using the system. So I think it really depends on Anchor's goals as far as like the yield coming off of those things and how they power the earn section of the Anchor protocol, as well as like not only making that sustainable on the earn side, but whether they want to incentivize a one form of asset over another in terms of, like you said, the yield and other elements. So yeah, I don't know what their solution to that is, but I've thought of that myself. Like, you know, why is B ETH have the exact same LTV as like, B Luna, for example.
Yeah. Thank you, for your thoughts. I don't know that we have a
solution to the problem that you're describing, but, or what they plan to do about it. I'm not sure.
Well, I sure hope so, because, you know, I'm definitely, you know, in favor of, I've been watching the Terra ecosystem grow the same way that I've been watching the Solana ecosystem grow for the past year. And it's quite impressive. And, you know, I want to get, you know, my uncle who doesn't know what a stablecoin is, you know, onto Anchor or onto some sort of yield generating solution. So he's not, you know, just losing money in the bank. And, you know, after reading the white paper, it's very clear, like Anchor's goals, you know, I support them. It's just, I would love to hear some clarity or some sort of, you know, cause if it goes from 19% to 10%, you know, that's still really good. Like 10% is really good, but it's just, exactly. I don't understand how it's sustainable. You know, I'm just not a good brain enough to understand it.
What I would do is, like, any ideas about this, I would post to the, like, Agora Anchor forum where they, I don't know if you've used that, but, like, you can actually bring this up for discussion, and you can see what discussion has been had regarding, like, addition of new assets. I tend to favor the idea of, like, bonded Atom and bonded Polkadot coming on, because the yields are more fixed in those instances, and have a more clear like pathway to fueling the earn section than because they're paid in kind in Atom and Dot, and you could more clearly figure out the math as far as like a mixture of LTV and the earnings potential of those assets, which will fluctuate again as the price of the asset goes up and down, but at least you know that those are relatively fixed rate assets for the most part. So the math might be simpler.
So you're saying that you want different assets that are not yet accepted as collateral on Anchor to be accepted because their rates of interest are more stable. Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, and not only that, but now these are not just like me saying it. Like they've said they want to add BSOL, Atom, and BDOT at some point. I think between IBC coming out and like all the different, there are a lot of implementation issues with bringing that liquidity in, whether through Lido or otherwise, and with IBC. And I think all that's still being kind of like worked out. So after Columbus 5 and adding IBC to Terra, like all these things became possible. I don't know what the timelines to finish implementation of all that shit is. Like, it's going to take some time, I would imagine, to get it right.
Understood.
For pretty much all the reasons you mentioned, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a complicated solution. I mean, it's trying to revolutionize, you know, finance, not only finance forever, but also crypto. So, you know, it's still a process. I'm actually wondering, do you have any knowledge on this? So I've been studying Lido for a little while now, and I understood that Lido was the original facilitators of B Luna in Anchor. And now they want it to be ST Luna. Is ST Luna going to be native in Anchor, or is it going to be something separate where Anchor does their own liquid staking solution? Because B Luna is essentially kind of liquid staking if you're able to use it after staking with Anchor. Are you aware if Lido is still going to be heading that operation?
I'm not 100% sure what's happening there. Like, I saw the proposal and we discussed it yesterday a little bit. The proposal doesn't go into like extraordinary detail of how that ST Luna plays out, you know, with Lido or otherwise. And then the other thing we don't know of is like the stator implementation of a liquid token into Anchor. That's all sort of in the works, apparently. So, yeah, I think we should just all kind of just wait on all that and see what happens. I don't know the answers to it. But it's all something we're all following for sure. Let me grab Zulian, I think is how you say the name, next. I'm going to make that last question because I've got an appointment to go to after that.
Cool. Thanks for hosting this. I wanted to add a little to what you guys were commenting on ANC. From what I understand, they're also building a treasury with the rewards right now, because that's part of the reason that loaning rewards have been going down. So if you were borrowing, we used to be getting paid quite a bit. I'm pretty sure they're using a good amount because there's too much LTV, like value locked right now. So they're using that to build a bit of a runway for accumulated rewards. At least that's what I understood last time I heard them talk about it. My question was on to validators, though.
Yeah, and this, by the way, this is what I was mentioning. I was trying to get across, and maybe didn't do a good job of it when Jose and Doe were on. Like, what I was getting at was essentially the idea that, like, let's say, for example, the Anchor protocol was like using some of the yield or what have you to like buy Luna, for example. Then you'll have like a constant cash flow source to pay for some of that earn that's like a legitimate like earner, as opposed to just waiting for more and more capital to come in like some kind of Ponzi-nomics scenario. That's specifically what I was trying to get at when the use of, so like if you look at Anchor, it's interest that it has to pay out as an expense to the people that are using it. Then technically, like if you have a yield earner in play, then you are basically funding that to some extent or the other, and essentially building up a like asset to pay that out. So that would be an easier explanation for you, like King, to tell his uncle, you know, like, oh, you know, this is how Anchor creates its yield pool. It does it via, you know, a mixture of taking proof of stake assets productivity as collateral, but it also owns some of its own collateral in the process. And that's also productive. Anyway, and I don't know if you could ever really keep up with it doing that exactly. I guess it depends on like what price they're able to buy something like Luna at. And if the value of Luna goes up, or maybe even better, like if Anchor were to start buying like Atom. And the reason why like Atom might make sense is because it's paid in kind, which is different than how Luna's paid. And so it gives you a different type of exposure. And you could wind up with if Cosmos does well over time, then your actual yield value is rising over time as well. Like, as opposed to with Luna, like you're assuming that in perpetuity, there's a high transaction rate and we will get the high staking yields, which may not be the case like 3 years from now. Whereas with Atom, it's always paid in Atom inflationary. And like the user doesn't like notice this, because ultimately, what do you care if your Atom's converted to UST to pay you on the rewards? The earn side of Anchor, right? So this is kind of what I was talking about when like incorporating productive assets or productive networks into like the expense paying arm of like a protocol. I don't know how to say that. It's basically cash flow is what I'm saying. You're trying to produce cash flow for your protocol, whether it's Anchor or otherwise.
Yeah, I think you covered it there with how Anchor is basically trying to create these positive cash flows. And right now it's figuring it out. And we're kind of lucky we're in a bull run to figure it out. Hopefully it does get solved sooner rather than later to see how it functions. I'd be curious to see if they can incorporate some type of treasury mechanism, kind of what Apollo is doing or what Whale is going to do, where they manage their treasury to grow and thus have more positive cash flow.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think that's probably all the questions I have time for. One other funny comment I had to make was, I don't know, there's a lot of, like, you know, people upset about with Plan B or something like that regarding, you know, the stock to flow model as far as Bitcoin. I was going to message him to, like, mention something because I've always, you know, followed Plan B for a long time. I don't know why I'm blocked from Plan B, which is hilarious. Because I've probably been in Bitcoin and everything longer than he has, but whatever. The point is, like, what I think about the stock to flow model that it didn't really actually consider very carefully is it didn't actually consider the rise of like all the other altcoins and other tokenomics mechanisms to compete with the Bitcoin tokenomics mechanism. So like for the holder, for example, like barring centralization and decentralization and proof of work issues and all the other theoretical reasons why you might hold Bitcoin, like Luna's the better like holding investment, quite frankly. Like there's not even a question in my mind as far as like, in other words, if Bitcoin had Luna's tokenomics but was a proof of work network, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. It would just simply be the preferred, it would be the like apex like predator asset. So this idea that somehow like Satoshi just created like the perfect, you know, mechanism is like, it was just largely pulled out of a hat to some extent. I think like the, even the halving model and some of the other elements to that have been updated on chains like Kadena and such. But I think the stock to flow model is extraordinarily interesting, but mostly interesting in the context of if like Bitcoin became the only hard money or the only money in the world. I don't necessarily really know that it can continue to rise the way it has without like competing with the tokenomics models of a variety of altcoins like Luna or others who may have a more clear-cut mixture of value accrual model as well as like, you know, some of the deflationary tokenomics that that, for example, Luna has. So I think maybe the stock to flow model actually works if you convert all of the market cap of all of crypto and put that into the model, it might work more closely. And the reason why I say that's because like I was expecting Bitcoin right now as of like, well, no, I was expecting last year for BTC to be running somewhere in the like 150K like plus range. So it's lagging behind like big time compared to what I had thought might be the case by now. The crush during the pandemic obviously created some of an episode, and maybe this is just a delay for BTC long run, but I think the reality is like the competition for people's minds, attention, wallets, and capital is real, and I don't necessarily know that the stock to flow model for BTC can hold if there are sort of like in an evolutionary model, if you, it's a survival of the fittest. So it was just the first of many. And if it dies, well, then that's just what happens. Like a lot of things in evolution went extinct that seemed like really good monsters, like Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever. And they're not here anymore. So something happened. So I think that's something to be aware of with any coin, whether it's Ethereum, whether it's Luna, whether it's whatever. Like there's an evolution that happens very similar to life in that, like, think of blockchains as like strings of DNA, and those strings of DNA lead to certain properties for your particular like creature. Like in life, that would be like, you know, an amoeba has a different set of characteristics than I don't know, a T-Rex, but like maybe they share you know, DNA and coding in some similarity. But there are niches where, like, the amoeba still exists today and the T-Rex is gone. So there are going to be lots of little niches filled, like with various different tokenomics theory. That's sort of what I was like, kind of, you know, that's what I was kind of picking, Jose's brain today from Delphi Digital, the idea that like each practical application you have has a variety of like, a variety of, users. Like you have the customer, you have the client, you have the investor, you have the venture capitalist, you have the liquidity provider. Everyone has different incentives. Life is very similar to that in that, like, you know, a cheetah runs really fast because it has to escape certain creatures, or maybe that's food. But like the high heart rate organisms, like, you know, cheetahs and whatnot, they live a lot less long. So there are like energy and efficiency trade-offs that living organisms make on a routine basis, you know, as part of their like existence in a niche. And I think you're going to have similar concepts with crypto. Like, for example, you know, Cadena is like super fast and Solana is super fast, but relatively centralized. You know, Cadena is an example where they have to use proof of work energy to achieve this, but they get scalability. On the other hand, if you just want to play a video game, you know, you log on to the whatever, the you know, Blizzard servers and play Diablo or something, you know, centralization speed is all that really matters. So, you know, I think, you know, really think carefully about the world of tokenomics as like an evolving thing. And some coins are going to die and some coins are going to go on. And I'm not suggesting necessarily that Bitcoin is going to die. But I think there are some reasons why, given the just huge demand for a lot of innovative projects like, you know, Terra or Solana, that has pulled capital away from investors who might have Bitcoin otherwise, you know, obviously, you know, because you didn't have very many choices back in that day. You had a dozen things. And actually, if you think about it, look at the top, like maybe the top 50 market cap now. There's a substantial portion of those things in the top 50 market cap that I think a year ago you would not have expected necessarily, right? Like if you were just going down the list of thousands of coins, like would you have predicted, you know, how many people predicted Terra would be where it is now? I think some people did, like people that built it and people like Delphi who really went all in. And so that's part of the reason why I wanted Macedo on as well, because obviously they have an eye for this sort of shit. And like, you know, if they think it's good, it probably is. Like it is hard to identify good coins, good projects, tokenomics, especially if you're not one of the design, you haven't had a lot of design experience in this area. So like listening to people like that makes a lot of sense. They have, just to plug them, Delphi has like a subscription based thing for like $50 a month or something where you can get like their sort of alpha that might be worth checking in on. I follow them on Twitter and stuff, so they periodically post stuff. But I was thinking of like subscribing to their little whatever, their report or analysis kind of thing. They have like a cheaper version and expensive version for depending on your budget. So anyway, hopefully everyone had fun. I'm glad that Jose was on and he had connection issues. I didn't get a chance to really be in here, but I'll send him a message and do that. And we might like try to get some, maybe might be fun to get some other guests later on that are heavy in these ecosystems. I like this long format. People have asked if like you want to do YouTube and all this shit. And I'm like, well, I like the fact that you can just sort of pick people's brain. People can ask questions and there's no real like structure to it in a way. Because it kind of feels more like long podcasts where, you know, you can let people really speak their minds and not have too much limitations, you know, from guests or speakers or even some of the people asking questions. So hopefully everyone had fun. King, sorry.
Sefi, how do you say your name? Is it Sefi or is it C5?
Yeah, it's technically C5, but yeah, whatever.
C5. Yeah, all right. Yeah, thanks for having me. These Twitter spaces are also always really fun, and I appreciate you telling me to go on the governance forum.
Oh, yeah.
Because just for everybody in here, before before we wrap up, there is an Anchor community call on Tuesday, December 7th at 5 p.m. PST. I will be there. If anybody in here is interested in talking to me about the future of Anchor or governance in general, or just anything really crypto related, please reach out to me. I will be in that call. I do think that it's important for us all to realize that we are early and we are building these protocols together with the people that are building it through our voting power, through our governance suggestions. And thanks for having me up here, CeFi. It's really awesome to be a part of this community. So thank you, everybody.
Great. Great having everyone. Have a good day, everyone. Catch you later.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. Don't forget, if you appreciate these recordings, tip your recorder. The address is on terraspaces.org. Hit the Contact Us button. This was a live Twitter space recorded on December 2nd, 2021, hosted by CeFi with a whole bunch of cool people. Jose from Delphi, Mr. Doquan showed up, a bunch of great questions and answers. So I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time. Peace out, y'all. One, two, three, hocus pocus. Put your hands up if you keep losing focus. Let me interrupt the daily hustle. Sliding through life trying to not be noticed by those in charge, whose feathers ruffle at the sound of freedom. Sweet and supple, they build these laws to keep us underground, but the real dogs find us like a sweet new truffle. People like music you can vibe to, whether living outdoors or in outer space. This is that shit you can get high to. Never underestimate the human race. They're one of the toughest creatures alive in the habitat. Super fucking tough, would you look at all the damage that's wreaking havoc on a planet that can only take so much before it lets us have it back. Humans are super fucking weird, but they're kinda sweet when they're sleeping. A new sort of cage, they like it when it's see-through. Swimming with the sharks like a Zisu. You gotta always be careful when they shake your hand. Micro expressions tell the lie. All this aggression is usually commanded by humans in charge trying to take your land. First they act nice testing your defenses, then they pretend to take offense, it's relentless. Then they come back with a bunch of weaponry to settle this discussion like it's destiny. Be wary of the gilded stranger, stare it in the face but can't see the danger. Trying not to live like a bunch of slaves here, paying off my debt in like 80 years. Humans are super fucking crazy, but they're kinda sweet when they're not being lazy. A new sort of cage, they like it when it's see-through. Swimming with the sharks like a Zisu. Terra Spaces.